If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn in them to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, John chapter 10. We're going to read together the first 10 verses, John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. God, we thank you for the truth of your word, and we thank you that by your Spirit it is able to change us. It is able to be your tool to make us into the people that you desire for us to be. And so, God, we give these moments to you, and we ask that your Spirit would be our teacher. And we ask, God, that the outcome of these moments, that is that we would become more like Jesus, that more and more who he is would be evident in who we are and in how we live, so that he would be visible in us. And so we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So a couple of years ago, I got this cell phone. And one of the things that I like about this cell phone is that I can dictate to it. I can talk to the phone, and it will recognize my voice. And I can actually, if I need to write something down and I'm not in a position where I can type on the little tiny keyboard, I can press a button and talk to my phone, and it will translate my speech into text. Now, it doesn't do this with 100% accuracy. And sometimes you get very funny results when you do that. It will mistake one word that you've said and write down another word in text, and you have to go back and change that and that sort of thing. The thing about my phone is, though, it doesn't know my voice from anyone else's voice. It doesn't recognize me when I turn it on. It doesn't say, "Hello, Michael." It could be anybody's voice talking to my phone. What the text that we're looking at this morning is about voice recognition. How we hear the voice of Jesus. How we recognize Jesus' voice in the midst of all the other voices that sound in our ears. Now, there are two parts to voice recognition. There is the portion where we recognize the speaker. We recognize who is speaking. We're able to tell one person's voice from another's. And then there is the part where we're actually recognizing speech. We're recognizing what is said, the content of the speech, not who is saying it, but the meaning of the words that are spoken. And as I said, the computer inside the phone in my pocket does okay with the recognition of the speech. It doesn't do well at all at is actually completely useless at speaker recognition. For us, as followers of Jesus, it's important that we be able to do both, that we be able to recognize the voice of Jesus as well as understand what he's saying to us. Now, speech recognition has a couple of parts to it. It works in a couple of different ways. One of the ways that it works is anatomy. Your head and the inside of your head, the way that that sound is produced, has a certain anatomy to it. Your throat is shaped differently than the throats of other people. And so if you want to, later on this afternoon, compare throats with other people, just go, see what you can see. But your throat is different than other people's throats. And so the contours of that, the geography of that, is part of what produces your distinctive voice. But also what goes along with the anatomy of your voice is your tone of voice and how you pitch your voice, whether you characteristically speak in a low tone or whether you characteristically have one of those high-pitched voices that's easy to hear at a distance. One of the things that happens to us as we get older sometimes is that our ability to hear voices diminishes over time. Is anybody experiencing that, where it's a little harder to hear voices as you get older? And what happens is our ability to hear certain frequencies of sound diminishes. And so we want people not necessarily just to speak louder to us, but we want them to speak in a certain register so we can hear their voices. But when we are concerned with speech recognition with Jesus, we want to know that it's Jesus who's speaking to us. And we also want to know what he's saying. We want to be able to understand what he's saying to us. So how do we do that? How do we hear the voice of Jesus? For us, as Christians, we know that one of the primary ways that we hear the voice of Jesus is when we pay attention to the scriptures, when we pay attention to what the Bible says. That is one of the primary ways. It's not the only way, but it's one of the primary ways for us that we understand what Jesus is saying to us. So we read the scripture. And I just want to invite you that if that's not a regular part of your life, that you figure out a way to make it a regular part of your life. It doesn't take a lot of time. It can take as little as 5 or 10 minutes a day. There are lots of ways that you can do it. You can sit down and read your Bible that you have there in print. If you don't have one, I'd be happy to help you find one. But lots of people have, you can get an app for your phone or your tablet or something like that that has the scripture on it. But it's important to us that we learn to hear the voice of Jesus by paying attention to the scriptures. None of us would think about going a whole week without drinking water or eating food or sleeping or anything like that. But if you are not in the habit of connecting with the scriptures on a regular basis, on a daily basis, then that's kind of the spiritual equivalent of saying, okay, I'm gonna go between from Sunday to Sunday without drinking water or without sleeping or without eating. Instead of doing these things on a regular basis, I'm going to do them only on an occasional basis, on an irregular basis. And so I would really encourage you not to let Sunday, not to let this experience that we have together of Bible study and worship on Sunday, to let that be the only time that you interact with the scriptures, but for that to be a daily part of your life, for that to be a regular part of your life. So how else do we hear the voice of Jesus? We can hear the voice of Jesus when we pray. Now, the thing about that is that implies that prayer for us is a conversation, that it's not a monologue, but it's a dialogue, that it is us listening for the voice of Jesus. Now, that requires, in a human conversation, if you want to listen to the other person in the conversation, what do you have to do? You have to stop talking. Now, for some of us, that's pretty easy. We're kind of wired up to be listeners. And you may have a reputation for being one of those people who's a good listener, who's kind of quiet, who's very attentive to the people around you. There are others of you who probably have the reputation for being talkers. All somebody has to do is initiate a conversation with you, and you're kind of off to the races. And every once in a while, you're going to draw breath, and that provides an opportunity for the other person to get involved in the conversation. You're probably one of those two types of people. But if you want to learn to hear the voice of Jesus in prayer, what it means is that when we pray, we're not always talking. We're not always telling God what we would like God to do or how we would like God to act or asking God to intervene or to work in our lives or to do something for us. But it means that we're listening, that we're attentive. So one of the ways to do that is to cut down on the background noise in our lives. If you have a speech recognition program, there's some computer programs that you can get that you can train them to listen to your voice. And so you can, for instance, when I worked as a chaplain in the hospital downtown, when I would work in the emergency room, I would often see doctors who were sitting in front of a computer and they were talking into a microphone. And what they were doing is they were dictating case notes into the computer. And they were doing that because the computer was able to recognize their speech and translate that into text. Now, the thing that makes that very difficult in an emergency room is emergency rooms are noisy places. There's a lot going on. There are a lot of people there. There's a lot of activity. And so the doctor would have to sit very close to the microphone and would have to talk directly into it. And that was designed, and the microphones were designed to cut out the background noise. You have background noise in your life. There are things going on in your life. There are things that you get caught thinking about. There are things that you tend to focus on that make it hard for us to hear God's voice, for us to hear the voice of Jesus when we pray, when we stop talking and listen. And so what I just invite you to do is to say to God, God, I know that there's background noise in my life. I know that there are things that are always sort of turning themselves over in my mind that make it difficult for me to hear your voice. And so, God, what I'd like you to do is just take down that level of background noise in my life so that I can hear your voice with clarity, so that I can hear you speak to me, so that I can be prepared to respond to your voice. Another way that we hear the voice of God, another way that we can listen to Jesus, is when we practice communal discernment. One of the things that's very important for us as Anabaptists, as Mennonites, is that we recognize that we don't have a personal monopoly on hearing and understanding the voice of Jesus, that we're not intended to live the Christian life in isolation, but instead we're intended to follow Jesus in community. And so there are times when it is absolutely essential for us to connect with other Christians and to say, you know, I'm really struggling to hear clearly the voice of Jesus. I'm really needing to hear what God wants me to do. I want to get a sense of what God's direction for my life is, but that's difficult for me to hear. And so I'm wondering if you could help listen with me. And we do that not only when we connect with other people in our community of faith, in our congregation, but we can do that by hearing what other Christians are saying in different parts of the world. It's important for us as people who live in the United States to pay attention to what Christians around the world are hearing God say about different topics. It's also important for us, living when we live, to pay attention to the voice of Christians who have lived at other times and in other places. And we do that by reading. We do that by listening to those voices and knowing that God has a history of speaking and that there's a continuity, there's a consistency to God's voice through time. And so we can listen to those other voices and through them hear better what Jesus is saying to us. And so we want to do that. It says in 2 Peter, verse 20, it says that, you know, no prophecy, no word from God is just a matter of private interpretation by the prophet, but it's something that we hear God's voice in community. It's a way that we hear God's voice together. Now, one of the things that Jesus talks about in this passage is he says that there are people who try to lead sheep who are not the shepherd. If you want to get a sense of who belongs in your house and who doesn't belong in your house, the people who come in through your back window probably don't belong in your house, right? The people who are appropriately in your house, they're the ones who come in through the front door or the back door. They're the ones to whom the door has been opened. They're not the people who are coming in through your, you know, kitchen window at 2 in the morning or something like that. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage. He's saying you can tell the difference between the shepherd who is appropriately leading the sheep, who's appropriately guiding the sheep. You can tell the difference between the shepherd and the ones who don't belong, the ones who are thieves and robbers. They come in through another way, and they have an agenda of destruction. They have an agenda of harm, rather than Jesus, who has an agenda of blessing and care and provision. Not everybody who talks about Jesus is telling the truth about Jesus. Not everybody who talks about God is telling the truth about God. And that's important to remember. There is an incredible amount of God talk in our culture. You see it on people's bumper stickers. You see it on television. You hear it on the radio. There's a lot of opinions about out there about who God is and what God is like and how God wants us to live. And we, one of the ways that we learn to hear the voice of Jesus is that we learn to distinguish the authentic voice of Jesus from other voices that we hear. How do we do that? We learn to distinguish the voice of Jesus from inauthentic voices about Jesus because when somebody says something about God or about Jesus, we can compare it with what Jesus has already said. So, for instance, one of the messages in our culture that's very popular is to say, well, you know, God loves you, and because God loves you, God wants you to be materially prosperous. God wants you to have lots of stuff. God wants you to be rich. God doesn't want you to have to worry about financial things. God wants you just to have a full bank account, and when you wake up in the morning, your hardest decision is, which car am I going to drive today? Well, that doesn't sound a lot like Jesus, does it? Because we hear Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, and this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And so when people come and tell us that the thing that's most important in life is to be a good consumer, you know, the one who dies with the most toys wins, we find meaning in life by accumulating stuff, we know that that's not the voice of Jesus, because we know that Jesus says to us that life is not about stuff, that life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions. And so we can distinguish those untrue messages about what Jesus is like and who God is from the truth of who Jesus is. Another example of this is there are some people who would say that Christianity condones violence. There are some people who would say, you know, it's okay for our country to go to war. It's okay for us to visit violence upon other people. It's okay when we are attacked to attack back, to hurt other people. That's fine. There are reasonable times for that. But we know that that's not true. We know that that's not what Jesus says. We know that when Jesus' disciples, trying to prevent him from being arrested before his crucifixion, when they resorted to violence, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, put down your sword, because everyone who takes up the sword is going to perish by the sword. In other words, violence involves us in this downward spiral where violence comes back on those who live violently. And so we know that that's not the way of Jesus. And so the way that we learn to distinguish the true voice of Jesus from these other voices that are not His is we compare them against what we already know. We sort of have this voice print of Jesus that's here for us in the Scriptures, and we can make that comparison. And so we can know the truth about the voice of Jesus, and we can listen, we can train our ears to hear His voice. The people that you love, you can distinguish their voices from lots of other voices. You can be in a situation where there are lots of people talking, and in the midst of that babble of conversation, you can pick out the voice of a loved one. You can hear their words above what everybody else is saying. And when we learn to hear the voice of Jesus, that's will be our experience as well. That's what we can do as well, is we can learn to hear the voice of Jesus and respond to His voice. And that's important for us because this text tells us that Jesus wants us to experience life to the full, that Jesus wants us to experience abundant life through Him, and that comes as we trust Him, as we learn to hear His voice. Agents who work for the Treasury Department, who are in charge of being able to track down people who create counterfeit currency and to take that counterfeit money out of circulation and to prevent them from circulating it, they don't learn to spot counterfeit currency by studying a lot of fake money. What they do is they study the real thing intensively. They study authentic currency over and over again until they know everything about it. And by knowing what's real, they can distinguish what's fake. And so what God is inviting you and inviting me to do is to become so intimately familiar with the voice of Jesus that we can recognize His voice and we can respond in obedience to His voice. Amen.